Hey, Eagles fans, this is Chris Franklin from NJ Advanced Media, and welcome back to the No Huddle Show podcast, where we discuss anything and everything Eagles. Before we begin, I want to remind you all that you can read our content on nj.com/Eagles. Make sure to bookmark that page to make sure you get the latest Eagles news and analysis. You can also subscribe to our exclusive Eagles Extra Insider Tech service through Eagles Extra. You can send questions to myself and Les, and we'll comment to you, and also we hold Q&As there as well, too. Once again, as we mentioned just before, we're joined by my No Huddle Show co-host, Les Bowen. Today, we'll wrap up the Eagles' win over the Detroit Lions. We'll talk about how the defense played. We'll talk about Devonta Smith and the rest of the offensive receivers, and especially with Smith being held down the catch. We'll also talk about the loss of Derek Barnett and look forward to the upcoming Monday night game against the Minnesota Vikings. But first, Les, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Chris. How are you?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad, man. We got to see come back from Detroit and seeing that 38-35 Eagles win that at times it looked like it should have been over the third quarter, but then all of a sudden the Lions came back and made it a game. And it was real interesting to see all the stuff that happened. There's a lot to break down. And
yeah, it was an odd game.
Yeah, it was craziness. Like, you thought that the Eagles would have, on paper, everybody knew that this Lions team was going to be better than what they were last year. It wasn't going to be that 44-6, but they came back pretty strong. What were your initial thoughts on the game?
Yeah, it was not the game I expected. I expected a reasonably close game because I did think the Lions were better, and I thought they were really good on both lines, which they certainly showed. I didn't see them scoring 35 points, and I thought that was very disappointing. I didn't see Jalen Hurts having to run for 90 yards, and I was a little alarmed by that. Not hugely alarmed, but a little alarmed. That can't be the way the offense is going to look this year against most teams, but it was kind of a mess in that, you know, I don't think they picked up blitzes very well for Jalen, so he was kind of had to run some. On defense, we're going to have to talk about that. I'm not sure why they weren't any better defensively. I hope it isn't that Jonathan Gannon just can't get them in the right formations and the right setups, but there was a little bit of that, it seemed like to me.
Yeah, you know, it's surprising when you just look at the numbers overall from that game. They allowed the Lions to complete 64.3% of their third downs. They allowed 386 total yards as well, too. And the running game was very effective. Early on, DeAndre Swift, the Detroit Lions running back, he was having a field day gashing this Eagles defense. Now, Les, when you look at that defense overall, they had the turnover with the James Bradbury touchdown. But when you look overall, they only finished with a sack that was split, and they didn't really truly get a lot of pressure on Jared Goff. I mean, Les, if you were in Jonathan Gannon's shoes right now, what do you have to be thinking?
Well, I'm going to have to be wondering about my defensive line rotation, which is something he talked about yesterday. And he sort of presented it as, well, I've got to, you know, give all these guys time. Like, you know, this isn't peewee football. You don't have to give everybody the same amount of snaps. If Javon Hargrave looks horrible, you can play Jordan Davis more. You know, I mean, and you can even do that to Fletcher Cox, frankly, if he's not getting the job done. I don't know that Jonathan Gannon sees it that way. Maybe Howie Roseman doesn't see it that way, since he's paying Fletcher Cox $14 million this year and Javon Hargrave $12.5 million. But I kind of didn't like that explanation. I didn't think anybody up front had a very good game. They always see – well, one thing that happened that Gannon brought up that I hadn't thought about was when they got the leads in the second half, they kept thinking Detroit was going to throw the ball, which is what usually happens when a team is way behind in the second half of the game. But Detroit didn't. And so I think the Eagles were caught on the wrong foot a lot of times. They were – defensive linemen were caught trying to get upfield, and the ball was being run right past them. You know, that was a little bit of that. But – I was really taken aback by how the defensive line and linebackers played. I was taken aback by the fact that T.J. Edwards played every defensive snap. And he's a nice player who's worked real hard to make himself into more than, you know, an undrafted guy who played special teams. But does he play every snap, really, of the game? I don't know if he's that guy or not. You know, I haven't seen that from him. So those are some of my thoughts. What are you thinking?
Well, the thing I saw, and you mentioned this as well, too, that when it came to that running, the running game, the Josh Sweat, especially when it came to Josh Sweat, and I saw this sometimes when it came to Hassan Reddick and Brandon Graham at times, they were, you're right, they were going so far upfield that all the Lions had to do was sweep them back down, and then Swift Williams had a way to cut back to the hole. And I also saw when it came to the gaps, I think Javon Hargrave, when you look at him, it was like he's still getting acclimated to playing meaningful snaps because he's coming off that toe injury. So he looked a lot step slower. And you're looking at the guys, it was a lot of gap discipline that they had issues with. And you would think that, especially with a lot bunch of veteran guys, they would know that. I don't know if they're too amped up. I don't know what have you, but they looked a little too amped up. The one thing I will say, I will give the defense credit with, is it looks like they have a lot more speed covering the flat areas, like and able to cover those running backs and tight ends towards those areas. Because when it came to Kaiser White, when you look at even safety Marcus Epps flying up there in coverage and also in run support, I think you feel good about that. But I'm really, really concerned right now when it comes to that defensive line, because all those assets they put in there, all the guys who have experience rushing the pass or what have you, especially Hassan Reddick, who had 23 and a half sacks in two seasons, and he didn't look like himself this past game. He really didn't. And they dropped him in the coverage a lot. I'm not really getting the process behind that. I know he can do it, but it doesn't mean because he can do it, you use it a lot. So,
right. The thing with Hassan Reddick dropping into coverage is his first 3 years with the Cardinals after he was drafted in the first round, that was what they were trying to do with him. They were trying to play him as a conventional linebacker. And it was not a success. He was having a real hard time. They weren't going to pick up his option. He was kind of a failed draft pick for them until they made him an edge rusher. You know, and I'm with you. He's not very good at dropping into coverage. I keep saying that he is, but, you know, he's better than some of the guys they've had, I guess, trying to do that. But it's not the strength of his game. He's there to rush the passer. And that's what they need him to be doing.
I agree. And we're talking about that pass rush being an issue. Well, now the Eagles are going to be down another defensive end because we found out on Monday that Derek Barnett has suffered a torn ACL, and he's done for the season now. So it looks as if Teron Jackson's going to be elevated to get some more time. Jackson was inactive for Sunday's game. And then the Eagles also made a couple moves as well, too. We'll get into that in a sec. But, Les, what do you think about the loss of Derek Barnett and Jackson getting more time?
Well, I'm interested to see what Teron Jackson could do. As far as Derek Barnett going down, you know, it's not the end of the world. There was a point in the offseason where I think the Eagles weren't expecting to have Derek Barnett this year. Now, maybe if he had signed elsewhere, maybe they would have, you know, found another guy of his approximate stature to replace him. But nonetheless, they were kind of, after last season, I think they were ready to move on. He's certainly not a starter with them. Where you get into trouble if Teron Jackson isn't really ready to play a lot of snaps, and then you get another injury to an edge rusher like 34-year-old Brandon Graham or somebody like that, then you're really in trouble. Then you got to go out and find yourself a good player, I think, to bring in here, but which is hard to do during the season. But, you know, for now, I'm not alarmed. If Teron Jackson can give them 8-10 good snaps a game, you know, that's fine by me. And they picked up a young player, which is what I thought they would do, rather than, you know, try to reheat Jason Pierre-Paul or somebody like that. They went and picked up a young player from the Vikings yesterday off their practice squad, and he seems kind of intriguing. What do you know about him?
Well, with Janarius Robinson, you know, he reminds me a lot, even down to the college where he went to Florida State. He reminds me of Josh Sweat. a guy who had some injuries early on, a guy who's athletic, very athletic. He's also tall. He's rangy too, 6'5", I believe 258 as well. So you got a guy who's quick off the edge, and this guy was well regarded in the draft. He went in the fourth round, and he's basically going off the edge. He's able to get some pressures, but he had a knee injury that made him miss all the last season. So the Eagles were able to pick him up off the practice squad, add him to the 53. Don't know how much time he's going to get coming into this of learning. He could be the new, like Jack said, he could be the one that's inactive beginning this week.
Yeah, I think probably also, at least right away, I think he will be. Yeah, I can't imagine they're going to toss him in there to play, but probably a developmental player, you know, which is how I would see this vacancy right now. Like I said, unless you get another edge rusher going down, you're not really looking for immediate help here.
Part of me is I look at the situation is right now, and I see if the Eagles go all in, if this pass rush issues continue, say about 5-6 games of the season, I think you have to go out and get like a JPP, or even I'd knock the not see make a couple calls, see if Everson Griffin's available. I know he's had his issues
in the last year. Continues, some mental health issues. You're right. If they don't get better at this, you know, going forward, I think they probably will. But you know, I think Brandon Graham is in great shape, and I don't think he's lost much in terms of quickness. I think he's going to play better. One thing is, these guys didn't play the preseason, and in the case of the defensive line, you know, the offensive starters played a full series at least in one game. The defensive starters played like two snaps, the linemen, you know, two or three snaps apiece in the preseason. And I just don't think they were really ready for the regular season. And I'm not criticizing Nick Sirianni's approach necessarily, because it was geared toward not getting people injured and geared toward the 17-game season and not the opener. But I do think, and I think they're a little silly for never acknowledging this, I do think there's a trade-off there. And the trade-off is, you know, you're a little flat-footed for the opener. And they won't admit that, you know, because that sounds like they're criticizing Nick's approach. But I think you can acknowledge both things. You know, it's a long-range strategy, and it's you're not going to come off firing in the opener. I just think that's the way it works.
You're right. And so this Eagles defense has a lot to work on this upcoming week, but we're going to switch over to the other side of the ball, where the Eagles were able to put up 38 points, and that running game was resurgent once again. It was powered by Miles Sanders, also Jalen Hurts using his legs too on a few design runs. And it was interesting to see every running back that was on that dress for that game. So Sanders, Boston Scott, and Kenneth Gainwell, they each scored a touchdown. So they ran behind that offensive line and had some success. But when they passed the ball, it was heavy A.J. Brown. He's the most targeted receiver by far, and he finished the game with 10 catches for 155 yards. Now, conversely, with Brown having his big day, Devonta Smith was held without a catch. He was targeted four times, but he didn't catch the ball. He had one drop as well, too. Les, are you concerned that Devonta Smith did not have any catch and his usage in this offense?
A little bit. There are going to be games like that, I guess, but it wasn't what I expected. It seemed like it was almost like when Carson Wentz would get criticized for only seeing Zach Ertz out there. You know, it was a little bit like that sometimes for me. It looked like Jalen Hurts was really enthralled with his new toy of A.J. Brown, and he wasn't really looking for the other guys too much. And I know Shane Steichen told us yesterday that, no, that can't happen. He's got to find ways to get Devontae Smith the ball. And I agree. That's kind of one of the points that I was trying to make in my column a couple days ago, was this offense, this isn't as the offense that's going to win them postseason games the way they played Sunday. I know they scored points. It was actually 31 because there was a defensive touchdown. But even though they scored points and were very productive, no, this wasn't, you know, in a playoff game, somebody will figure out how to shut down A.J. Brown and keep Jalen Hurts from running for 90 yards. And you've really got to, you know, spread it around a lot more, which is kind of what I'm expecting with guys like Goddard and Pascal and Devontae Smith out there, that they're going to get, you know, everybody's going to get their 50 yards and maybe A.J. Brown gets 100, you know, something like that. And that's not what we saw Sunday. So, yeah, I was a little concerned. It was not what I expected. You know, they certainly scored points, and I don't think Jalen Hurts played badly. I'm not trying to suggest that he did anything terribly wrong. I thought the offensive line was up and down. I know the coaches have given the offensive line a lot of kudos this week, and they certainly were excellent in run blocking, especially down near the goal line. But pass blocking, I thought, was kind of hit or miss, and blitz pickup, which Shane Steichen liked, I thought, was horrendous. So I'm a little bit perplexed by some of that.
Yeah, and one thing you definitely saw that I thought the Eagles could have taken advantage of a couple times where the Lions were blitzing a lot from that right side and trying to force Hurts to his left. And they had A.J. Brown on his side. It seemed like A.J. Brown was lined up to the left a lot, and they used Smith on the slot and on the right side. They blitzed 40 times that Smith lined up on the right side. Well, if you had the blitz coming that side, you either get the ball quickly to that area where you know the blitz is coming, or if he's got to be forced to roll out to his left, why not put Smith next to A.J. Brown and force the defense to adjust, because I'm pretty sure they wouldn't bring the pressure from that one side if they knew that you had both those receivers to that side. And
well, that's a good point, Chris.
Thanks. I just thought there could have been times where that – and there was also some times, especially early on, where I believe Quez Watkins was opening it on. There was a time – I forget what play. I believe it was in the first quarter that Quez Watkins was sitting by himself. The Lions didn't have somebody covering over him, and Hurts had to get the ball out quickly. And it was like if he just had took a second to look to that side, it would have just basically been a wide receiver screen of Quez Watkins all by himself and no defender 10 yards around him. And I'll take those odds over trying to force a pass play to the other side. So there's still some things I think this offense could do that would be a little better in that aspect. And I know we're going to talk about the Vikings game coming up, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings started to roll a safety over towards Brown's side, forcing the Eagles to say, okay, well, what are you going to do now? So there could be chances where Goddard and Smith are going to be open, but it's going to be coming to the Eagles to make sure they scheme them open as well, too, and not just rely on, well, we got A.J. one-on, possibly two. Let's see if he can make a consistent catch. That is, you can't sustain that over a course of 17 games. But now we're going to go on to the Vikings now, and we saw what they did to the Green Bay Packers in that first game, basically dominating them overall. And now they come into Philadelphia. We get to see Jalen Reagor once again. He didn't do much in that game. He had one punt return for 7 yards. But now you have the Eagles had trouble with DeAndre Swift, the Lions. Now you got Dalvin Cook coming in here with the Vikings. You also have Justin Jefferson on the outside. You got Adam Thielen still there as well, too. And Kirk Cousins, be it as it may, his struggles on Monday Night Football. He's 2-for-9 on Monday Night Football. He still comes in with a potent offense. Les, what do you see overall the outcome of this game being?
Yeah, I'm pessimistic right now, Chris. Maybe my mind will change, but the Vikings opener was kind of the opposite of the Eagles opener. The Vikings came out really sharp. I did not expect them to beat the Packers like that. Now, there were some drop passes the Packers had. They had guys open, particularly early in the game. There was what should have been a touchdown shot to a rookie receiver, and it just went right through the guy's hands. It reminded me of Carson Wentz throwing to J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, you know, 3 years ago, and you know, Nelson Aguilar, and, you know, there was a little bit of that. It wasn't like the Vikings' coverage was always wonderful, but they certainly played well. Cousins, for whatever, I'm not a huge Kirk Cousins fan, but he has done well against the Eagles. Wherever he's played, he's done pretty well against the Eagles. So I'm apprehensive. I think in the long run, the Eagles will be a better team than the Vikings, but I'm not sure they're going to be a better team Monday night.
I hear it. I think the Eagles could will win this game, but I think it's going to be eerily close. And the only thing reason why I think that is I think the crowd noise may affect the Vikings to the point where they may take a couple of false start penalties and ends a couple of drives that way. But as of right now, I'm looking at the way, how do you stop this offense? And giving away, I have more faith in the secondary I do right now, this Eagles, in the amount of pass rush they can get. And Kirk Cousins is one of those guys who can get the ball out quickly when he sees what he wants. And the Eagles had trouble with that last year. When you look at the defense this year, the Eagles are – well, Jared Goff had a chance to basically, if he was on point, he could have had a 60, 70% completion percentage, but it's Jared Goff, so we know we saw what happened on that. But Kirk Cousins is the type of guy that can start tearing a defense apart. And I'm a little worried now if they can't get a pass rush. I want to see if Jonathan Gannon gets a little bit more pressure in some different ways with blitzes and everything else.
Yeah, they did not blitz much against Detroit, and they did not get pressure. They got one sack, and it was off of a fumbled snap kind of thing. That was definitely a problem, and that's got to get a lot better for them to beat good teams.
It really does. It really does. Let's talk about this as well, too, Les. Let's say it happens if the Eagles do lose this game here at Lincoln Financial Field and the Washington Commanders and the Giants surprisingly win their games. And they're 2-0, the Eagles now drop to 1-1. Are you concerned about where the Eagles would be in their next three or four games if they'd be able to pull themselves out of that hole?
That's an interesting question. My instinct is to say no, because I don't think Washington and the Giants are that good. I respect what they did the first week. Washington beat the Jaguars, which I know Doug Peterson's there and all that, but the Jaguars are still the Jaguars to me. Carson Wentz made enough mistakes. He did make some wonderful throws, but he made enough mistakes to turn that game around against a good team. The Giants, you know, I expected them to get killed in Tennessee. They certainly did not. Saquon Barkley looked reborn. Their defense played well. But at the end, if Bullock, the Titans kicker, can make a 46-yard field goal, the Giants would have lost. So, you know, I'm not going to get too panicky about the division games after this. Even if the Eagles lose to the Vikings, unless they get, key players hurt or, you know, guys start yelling at each other or something, I think they can certainly regroup. They regrouped last year after 2-5, you know. So there's not much that's going to make me panic at this point in the season, other than injuries, I guess. But I kind of expect the Vikings to come in here and win. I might be wrong, but I just don't. The Eagles we saw Sunday aren't ready to beat a good team, even here at the Link. And maybe they'll be a different. They've got 8 days here, so maybe the things will sharpen up considerably by Monday night, and I'll be totally wrong.
I hear you. See, I'm more concerned about the Commanders as opposed to the Giants. I think the Giants will come back to earth a little bit, given even with the schedule.
What do you like about the Commanders?
I like their defense.
Yeah.
I like Ron Rivera. I like their defense. I think they have enough weapons on the outside. And Curtis Samuel, I saw the way they're using him a little bit in that hybrid running back wide receiver role that they give the Eagles problems. It all comes down to wins. And looking at that way, the first game that after this Eagles play the Vikings, not to fall too far ahead, but the Eagles go down to FedEx Field to play Washington Commanders. If they're 2-0 at whole, and then you have, Wentz is going to have a chance to have revenge against his old team, showing they you made a mistake here. I think that could be a bad look. So if you go 1-2 to begin the season, I don't foresee it. I think that if anything, that I'm picking the Eagles to beat the Vikings, but I think if anything, I think they finished they first three games, if anything, will be 2-1. I don't foresee them going 1-2, but that loss to the Commanders worries me a little bit. I know they take on the Lions this week and the Giants take on the Panthers, but
the one thing I'll say about Wentz is with McLaurin and Dotson, the kid from Penn State, he has better receivers than he's had probably since the Super Bowl year with the Eagles. And I'm not going to rehash the whole Wentz era and all the there was plenty of fault for to him, particularly that last year when he just totally fell apart. But part of the genesis of the problems with Carson Wentz in Philadelphia was the drop-off in his receiving core. And even though, he was up and down last year with Indianapolis, the end of the season was a disaster, but he didn't have good receivers there either. So, McLaurin, I think, is one of the very best receivers in the league. And Dotson certainly had a heck of a first game. And I'll be interested to see what – I think Wentz statistically is going to have a good year. Whether that means they win a whole bunch of games, I don't know. I'm not as high on their defense as you are. Chase Young is out. I don't know. I'll have to see their defense play some before I get too much behind that. But I do think it'll be an interesting year for Carson Wentz. The Eagles fans who want to see him fall flat on his face and be drummed out of the league might be disappointed.
There's nobody that thinks that around here in the Philadelphia area now, is it? No. Oh, goodness. But we're going to put a bow on this latest episode of No Huddle Show. But first, before we do, Les, do you have any final thoughts today?
I'll be interested to see when the Eagles get back to work here this week, what the mood is. If I'm getting strong, everything's okay, we're doing just fine. If that's the tenor, then I'm a little worried. If the tenor is, boy, we've got a lot of work to do, that wasn't a great start. Even though we won, we were lucky to win. That, we need to play a lot better than that. If that's the tenor, then I'll be reassured. But I just don't know how they're going to approach this week. And there's going to be a lot of talk about the crowd. And I don't think the crowd wins you much of anything, really. Unless, like you said, the Vikings can't get their plays off or something. The support of the crowd is nice, but the game is won on the field. And I just want to see that the Eagles are really ready to do that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It really does. For me, it all goes down to the quarterback, and I want to see how Jalen Hurts bounces back, and I want to see if he's able to elude some of those hits that he did. You wrote a really good story a couple days ago about that. I get it. I mean, when you're a quarterback getting hit over and over again, you want to feel it. And I used to have a coach that used to tell me, "Hey, you know what? Take a 15-yard early on to get into the quarterback's head and make them think for the rest of the game." And it looked like the Lions were just trying to get every single which hit every they could on them.
Well, quickly, I'm going to say something about that. I'm glad you reminded me of what I said in my column. One of the reasons I wrote that column is I asked Nick Sirianni about the hits on the slides, which I think a lot of fans were upset with. And watching the game, you see the guy sliding, he's down, and he still gets hit. And you don't know why there isn't always a flag. And Sirianni actually explained it. The way the rule is written, if the defender has committed himself, if he's, in the process, if he's launched or if he's, in a position where he can't really pull up, then he doesn't get penalized for hitting the quarterback on a slide unless he hits the helmet, neck, head and neck area, which is totally reasonable, but it does a lot of times when you're watching it in real time, you're seeing the guy slide. You're thinking, okay, play's over. And then he gets popped. And, Sirianni was using the word tackle. He can still be tackled. I haven't ever seen a sliding quarterback get tackled. What happens is a guy with his shoulder you know, slams into the quarterback's back. He doesn't try to tackle him. And I was using that in support of my point, which is that if Hurts is going to run a whole lot, he's going to take a lot of really bad hits, and sooner or later, something really bad is going to happen. So, yeah, that was a big part of what Nick was talking about the other day.
Yeah, he's going to have to continue to be smart about the way he's approaching it. I didn't mind some of those unique throwaways that he had when he was outside the pocket to save some yards. And I understand where sometimes you need to run just to run and keep plays alive, but he's got to protect himself, continue to protect himself, because this team has pieces around it to have a successful year, but it won't do any good if Hurts is not on the field. And no disrespect to Gardner Minshew. I think he's good for a short period of time, but the longer, if you had to ask him to say, okay, we want you to lead this offense for 12, 13 games in the playoffs as well, too, I don't think the Eagles would be able to maximize their potential offensively. So for Hurts and for the Eagles' sake, he has to make sure he stays upright on that. Well, everybody, that's been the latest episode of No Huddle Show podcast with Les Bowen and myself. Make sure you look for it throughout the rest of this week. We're going to be back at the NovaCare Complex. We're recording this on a Wednesday. We'll be back on a Thursday. Start talking to Nick Sirianni, some of a couple other players as well, to preview this upcoming game against the Minnesota Vikings. Head to nj.com/Eagles, and we'll give you all the updates that we have on there. So for Les, I'm Chris. Have a good one.